Welcome to Contagious Podcast, Contagious Conversations for Automotive Innovation. So excited that you're joining me and us today. I am excited about the conversation that I got to have with Tim Cox today. Tim Cox is the founder and senior vice president of sales at CarNow. CarNow is a chat and digital retailing provider in the automotive space, and it has over 4,000 franchise dealers and growing. So incredible startup that started up, I think just a little over 7 years ago now, and is growing by leaps and bounds. And what I love that I got to talk about with Tim today is not sales or not growth metrics, but it's leadership. And it's a huge passion of his, and it's a huge passion of mine. And I believe that if it becomes a huge passion in the automotive industry and how we lead, not just our people, not just the people that we serve on a daily basis, but how we serve and lead ourselves, determine our direction. And you're going to catch a lot of little one-liners and nuggets that I hope you have a pen and pad. And if you don't, go back and listen to it later or watch later, you're going to pick up a ton of stuff from Tim. So I hope you enjoy the conversation, and let's throw it over to Tim right now. All right, so we are hanging out with Tim. Tim, man, I've had just such it's been a blessing getting to know you over the past, gosh, it's only been really 6 or 7 weeks. We're like clubhouse friends turned real friends, right?
Yeah.
And I think like early on, I'm hearing you talk about leadership in a really cool and fresh perspective. And wouldn't you know it? I mean, maybe we'll get to this, but wouldn't you know it, like 4 weeks later, we're both like, holy cow, we're both PKs, right? Preacher's kids.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that there's probably
those are usually there. The really bad kids too. So
I know, right? We lucked out. We lucked out. But yeah, so you talk a lot about this leadership mentality, and you said this one phrase that I wanted you to just start by expounding upon. And it was this phrase. It was said, is direction determines destination. And so expand on where does that come from, and how has that become kind of a mantra for you in the way you lead yourself and others?
Well, for starters, that was not original to me. I heard that in a message several years ago from a speaker here in Atlanta, but it really, you know, sometimes things are set in your life and you're like, you have this moment. Right there, I had a moment with John Maxwell, something I heard from him 15 years ago, and a moment probably 7 or 8 years ago, and it just makes sense, you know. And I tell people all the time, as much as I think about it, as much as I plan, you know, as much as I pray about whatever you do, I can take my sunscreen and I can take my swim trunks and I can take my beach towel, but if I get in my Jeep Wrangler downstairs, which I love very much, and I head on 75 North, I'm never getting to Florida.
Yeah.
So the direction, so all of us, it works in life. It works in our business. We are where we are physically, what kind of shape we're in. We are where we are financially, where we are with our relationships with our spouses and our significant others, because of things that we have decided to do and decisions that we've made weeks, months, if not years ago, because we, whether we like it or not, are always moving down a path. Doesn't mean to say we're on the right path, but we are moving whether we like it or not. And we are both in the automotive business, but this is just a life hack, and in the automotive space. We are where we are. You at your store and what you're doing there, a phenomenal job, brilliant mind, and why we connected, because I just wanted to listen to you more than I spoke to you, and helping us even figure out some things. But your dealership is where it is at, I won't say any percentages that you told me, but as high of a closing percentage is off the internet because of decisions that you have made. So I live by it. Sometimes I have to review the game film on a daily basis. I have to make sure that I'm still on that path and where could I got better? I shouldn't have got off that exit because that exit, what I thought was on that exit wasn't on that exit. Let me get right back on the interstate and get right back to where we are. So that's the thought process there. And quite frankly, you can literally use that in every aspect of your life and it just fits and it works.
Yeah. I think it, so one thing that you kind of said and you alluded to is that I think a lot of people don't recognize that they are headed in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whereas like you are in like what that clicked in your mind is I need to head in an intentional direction, is that a lot of people are headed in a direction, not understanding that that's the direction they're headed in, right? Yeah. That there's an unintentionality to it, and that it's almost like an intentional direction determines an intentional destination.
That's good. Yeah,
it just kind of hit me for a second. So maybe what, since kind of hearing that and reframing your thought process around direction, what did it take for you personally? Not, you know, you're in a leadership role, obviously, with Carr now, but what did it take personally for you to kind of flip the switch a little bit to make sure that you were consistently, like you just said, looking back, am I in the right direction? Am I actually facing the destination that I want to go? What practical steps maybe that did you take to ensure that you were constantly headed in the right direction?
Well, setting up guardrails in my life, you know, setting up guardrails, setting up mentors in my life. You had the privilege to meet, well, I say privilege, he's a great guy. And my best friend, Andy, who's my business partner, who we've become best friends. Just like, you know, you and I have had multiple conversations, started on Clubhouse, one thing led to another. And now we're here having this conversation. But number one, setting up people, you know, sometimes when you achieve success, you have people around you that just tell you how pretty you are and how great you are and how, for example, you know, hey, maybe you need to think differently about this in showroom or whatever that is and be okay with it. I think a lot of time in leadership, especially when we have what the world, when we achieve some sort of what everybody says success is, we become the smartest person in the room.
Mm.
And we walk into every meeting with a smile on our face, but we walk. That's the key to leadership, number one, and the key to make sure that when you truly, and only you can answer this question in your heart, am I going into this meeting wanting to learn something, or am I going into this meeting thinking that I'm the smartest person in the room? And I'll say, I call it Sunday school words. You know, on Sunday, it's easy to say God, Bible, Jesus, Old Testament, Moses. It's easy because your surroundings, right? But when you go into that meeting, do you think because you've had success, oh my gosh, and it works in our space, especially in automotive. And I know this podcast will go out to other vocations as well, but especially with automobile sales, and it happened with me. I'm a good salesperson. Everybody just dying to get off the floor, right? From a salesperson to finance manager to pre-owned manager, and then you achieve and all of a sudden you're in charge. Now what? You know, Glenn Pash has a podcast. You're in charge. Now what? You know what I mean? And then you start dictating and you start being, you know, egotistical and prideful, and, you know, you start chasing the stuff, you know, the Rolexes and the fine, and you and that clouds your judgment on what's really important. And I, quite frankly, hindsight 2020, I wish 20 years ago when I became a manager for the first time or whenever it was, I'm so old now, you know, I wish someone would have told me that, you know. And something that really has been big in my life is not chasing success, but chasing significance and being intentional. You want to change your dealership, Mr. General Manager, Mr. GSM, Mr. CMO, Mr. Mark. You want to change your dealership from the inside out. Be significant in someone's life. Pull your receptionist aside. The person, by the way, that a lot of dealerships forget about and they sit and they pay. But your receptionist is a window to the whole store. They're the first line of the first time people see when they walk into your dealership is that person. Where do you want to be? How can I serve you? How can I help you? You take that type of intentional wanting to be significant, important to somebody's life, success just comes. I'm just telling you. Then you create an environment that people want to go to, and that, you know, you don't have to ask them to stay late if they have a customer, and you have to have work-life balance, but you create that type of environment, man, people will do any, because they don't want to disappoint you, because you poured into their life, and all they want to know and all they want to do is know somebody cares about them.
Yeah. So key and timing here, but I dropped this LinkedIn post. I was just thinking this morning and I was like, oh my goodness, we are in business. And sometimes we get into this like business mode and we're like decision, new process. Right. But it's like, there's humans right there in front of us, around us, engaging with us, customers, other employees that you're seeking to lead. And they're a human, and not just, it's interesting. We not just need to be interested, I think, in what other people are going through, hurts, pain, anything like that. I feel like I was telling someone a couple of weeks ago, I said, it seems like sometimes when people get into leadership, they forget to share with people that they're still human as well, mm-hmm. right? That they have shortcomings, that there's hard things going on, that there's hurts and pains in my life. And then it makes me more human to be able to be more human with you as another person. And I think what you were just saying about like relating to that, to every person and being significant to that person, you can't really be significant to that person unless they can see you just like you want to see them. You know, I think that's a really big key to that. And if I can like build on, and some, I have a good friend that says every analogy breaks down somewhere, but if I can build on your direction determines destination deal, it's like a lot of times we try and get in Miatas to go everywhere that we're going just on our own. And really what we need is like double-decker buses, and we need to invite people, because especially as leaders, it allows us to invite people on the bus and then help them drive. At some point, show them how to drive to the destination. So I think that can, you know, that's how, like, if you are intentional and understand your direction, then that kind of spills over into leading others. So I think, you know, we kind of have self-titled this Leading Yourself and Others. And I think there's some element, and I think you'll agree with this, that we have to lead ourselves. And that results in leading others.
John Maxwell, if I may, it's a perfect point. John Maxwell, and I love him, said this: if you think you're a leader, but you look over your shoulder and no one's following, you may need to rethink your position.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. You know, you've got to be someone that someone wants to follow. You know, why would they want to, you know, if you're that person that comes in and bangs on the desk and throws stuff at, I mean, why would anybody want to follow you? They just can't wait till you leave. You know what I mean? And again, I think, unfortunately, all of that bad behavior stems from that ugly word, pride, right? Smarter. You know what I mean? It's just, anyway, but sorry, I had to have that little commercial. It just popped in my head. If you think you're a leader, but you look behind you and no one's following, you may need to rethink your position. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's really good. So talk about that a little bit, especially as you've, you know, been started a part of this. Initially a startup as Car Now, and grown it to one of the biggest chat providers in the country, and had to.
And digital retailing.
What's that?
And digital retailing and automated services. And
you mean, come on, man. You mean just anyway, retailing?
Just
want to get off on the retailing
thing. Don't get off on that. Anyway. Yeah. I'm teasing. Yeah. I'm teasing because of that word, but yes.
So, okay. So as you've grown in that and had to learn, I mean, I'm sure like the learning that curve that it comes with all of that growth mindset. But what are some of the ways that you've seen effective in, especially, and this is, I think, really tricky, especially as a lot of dealerships are in a growth mentality and growth mindset right now, especially on like the franchise side, to as you grow, as you scale, and having to scale your own leadership within those people, how do you pay attention to making sure that you are scaling that type of leadership mentality across the organization, and ensuring that you don't lose sight of people within that mindset. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think the first law, one of Maxwell's laws of duplication, you know, being okay. And look, when we first started, and the bag is in my other office, as this is the little conference room off my office. But when we started Carnell, it was me, and it was holding a bag, and it was knocking on dealers, and that was it. And it was Andy and Sourav and Madan, and officially that's all that was at Carnell. And, you know, maybe it was pride, but, you know, every demo per se, you know, I had to have my hands in until who, you know, he's part of the founding team, but he didn't come in until a little later, Aaron Baldwin, and, you know, letting go and let Aaron do some demos and let Aaron do, you know, and then finding out, crap, he's better than me, you know, and being okay with it, you know what I mean? And a lot of things that he was doing. And I think it starts with, you know, again, it's easy. This word culture is thrown around a lot lately. And again, I think it's too flippant. I think the people and the, you know, I look at some of the bios on Clubhouse and I look at, you know, a lot of the things, and it's easy to say nice things and we have this great culture, but you have to live it, because whether you know it or not, just like if I'm a daddy to two kids, they watch me, you know? And I think the biggest part is just like when we go into a relationship with a dealer, letting them know, listen, we're probably going to make some mistakes, but here's the difference. We will serve you. That's what's one of the things that we're most proud of. You know, if you go on Driving Sales or anything else, you pull up these reviews and yeah, they talk about our tech, but they talk about how, you know, it was 11 o'clock, read them yourself. They're, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night and, you know, I'm on the West Coast and I called and somebody picked up the phone and, you know, it's how we respond, but you have to first lead to show, you know, you have to first lead yourself so people will follow. Then of course there's, you know, this is a much longer conversation with hiring the right people, right? With the team mentality and the servant mentality. Cause like, you know, like Gary Vee says, you know, number one, if you own a company, don't expect your people to care as much as you do. Number one. And number two, that you work for them. We're hiring a lot of people this year, and we have a class of five new sales managers. And that's what I told them this morning is that, listen, and Andy and I were both on, we work for you. And we don't say that tongue in cheek. If you need me on a Saturday or a Sunday, unless I'm in the middle of something, we will pick up the phone and we will do anything that you need us to do. And fortunately, you know, I took the company to X, and then we just got so big, I couldn't touch everybody. And then we just, you know, once we started hiring these great people, you know, there's a lot of big companies that were downsizing and other things in the last 6 years. So we ended up getting some phenomenal people. And once they proved that they had that same team mentality, we put them strategically in places to where they could lead and they could love. We call it leading and loving. You know, we love our people. Let's lead them. Let's love them. Let's encourage them. You know, let's lift them up. But when you consistently do that, even when someone's having a tough time, you know, there was a just recently, there was a person, and I won't mention what department they were in, that was, we were taking a hard look at maybe, you know, possibly putting on a performance improvement plan. But we found out that there were things going on, which we didn't know internally, that brought me to tears. And now instead of doing that, we put them in another position and we're pouring into that person. Well, guess what? What happens to that person is now, do you think that person is going to, you know, how are they going to feel about us? You know, yeah. So understanding it's about numbers, and yes, you need to be accountable, but at the same time, you need to, you know, whoever's in charge per se, or whoever calls you boss, you know, those people that report to you, they need to know that that you have their back, that you're there to serve them, and that you're there to give them whatever absolutely they need, whenever. And I think that's been a big key of creating that culture, that Carnell family that people talk about, and why, you know, very thankfully we're getting the best and brightest in the space coming on board.
Yeah. I think that's a key, you know, my whole deal is like this culture innovation, this innovation of more people wanting to be a part of the automotive industry. And I think there's some really neat things that we can learn in the franchise side from a lot of what the software companies are working through, and vice versa. There's incredible, I don't want to downplay like all of the franchise, you know, managers and stuff like that. But we have to change the way that we engage people in leadership. And what you're saying, this language of love within leadership is so, people crave it. People want it so bad. They desire it. It's incredible. Like, I've met some of the most impressive people from a performance standpoint that leave that, I mean, getting paid tons of money, doing incredible, that leave their company. Well, that's not a result of how much you paid them or what they were able to accomplish there. That's probably a result of the culture and the leadership and the love that they were shown within that environment. So we do, like, we've got to reframe our minds within automotive that we're in a massive opportunity to be in the best people business, you know, and not just be in business for business sake. So I absolutely, man, that gets me all charged up. And I'll say this one more thing and then I'll let you. Yeah. So I don't have a relationship with every single person that as far as like vendor to dealer relationship, but Tim and myself and Carnell, we do. And I'll just say this, like, it doesn't matter who I reach out to at Carnell. And yeah, I've got a relationship with Tim and Aaron. But the local people, the regional people that are in charge of what we're doing are responsive. And here's what's really cool is they're responsive intercompany too. And that's what I love to see. Like, the people that you're leading have no fear in reaching out to you and saying, I need help, I need something, and knowing that you're going to be there to catch that. And that's a big deal. I've literally seen it worked out in real time. So that's just kudos to you and the way that you're.
But listen, and this is all great, but obviously we're far from perfect. There are things, you know, we're 252, I think, family members right now on the Carnell team, somewhere around there. And as we continue to hire, but you know, I'm sure there's things that go on that we don't have our hand. You know, nothing's perfect, but I will say once we find out about it, we try to, you know, because we always say the truth somewhere lies in the middle, right? You know, let's figure it out and let's see how we can collectively, you know, get better together, right? So I appreciate the kind words. Nobody's perfect. We sat, you know, I'm sure there's people that worked for us, you know, 5 years ago and like, you know, who knows? But for the most part, what's he talking about? You know what I mean? Because I, you know, people, again, Sunday school words, right? You know, yeah. but at the end of the day, you know, we started December 1st, 2014. And, you know, we have some of the, you know, we started hiring, I think in March or April. And some of those people are still with us, you know, in a world where, you know, startup companies, especially, they come after and they get this big round of funds from a VC or whatever. And then they offer our people, on these ungodly amounts of money. And the fact that we still, you know, have a lot of our people, if not most of our people, is humbling for sure.
Yeah. So earlier you said something that that I think I wanted to key in on is that, you might not have said it in these words, but that leaders are learners, essentially that you're not the smartest person in the room mm-hmm. if you're a leader, and that's a really important like mindset and recognition to come to. So I wanted to hear from you, like what are you leaning into to learn, not just from your people, but to learn those leadership things that maybe people that you might encourage, hey, these are some things that I'm learning or people I'm learning from or running to right now to learn, like just personally.
You know, I love listening and, you know, not going into Clubhouse, which is like the new, you know, the last couple of months, you know, tens of thousands of people pouring. I love just listening. I took 4 days last week in the panhandle of Florida and I listened to our dealers. And I talked to you for a little over an hour today with how we could get better in a particular area. And I listened. So I think listening is the most important thing that a leader could ever do. I will tell you the most dangerous thing in any company, I really feel, is two words. And I've said the first one, but number one is insecurity. And number two is pride. So maybe you're not the CEO, but you're a couple levels down and you're trying the manipulation and whether it is the backstabbing or this or that, that is the first thing that will kill you know, any culture or any company. So how do we weed that out? We make sure that we hold ourselves accountable. That makes sure that we review the game film. You know, had the privilege, you've talked to him many times, David Long, who, by the way, is kind of cool because, you know, right now, maybe someday, you know, we're not partners with him, but he asked me to speak to his people. And there's three things that keep me accountable on a daily basis. And I'll just share them very quickly with you. And I love the show, Friday Night Lights. I love high school football. I love football. And Coach Taylor always said, clear eyes, full hearts, and his football team would say, can't lose. And every single day of my life, I number one, at the end of the day and at the beginning of the following day, when I'm having my quiet time, I focus on my clear eyes. I focus on, all right, let's review the game film. Where should I have encouraged that person today? Where should I miss that tackle? Dang it. Let me write that down. I can't do that again. And clear eyes from where we need to go. That you have to. So you have to prepare. And David Long said this as well. You have to prepare for tomorrow today, right? You just have to. What did I do good? What did I do bad? What went well? What didn't go well? So clear eyes, full hearts. I won't break down everything, but number one is be authentic. Right? Be yourself. You know, several years ago, I started getting all these speaking opportunities and my wife laughed at me. She's like, you know, cause I would do mannerisms and I'd listen to this guy or that guy. And she's like, just be, you're an idiot, you know, just be yourself, you know, be authentic. And along with that, as far as full heart, what does it really mean? Does it mean Valentine's? Is it loving? No. And then just love people, you know, true. And this is very difficult for me, especially when I'm behind the wheel. Just going to tell you, you know, I get behind the wheel, I turn into another person, but you know, there, you know, just love people on a daily basis. So number one, clear eyes. And again, I won't give the whole talk, but clear eyes. Let's review the game film every single day, blocking and tackling. I missed that. I should have done that. Wow. Let's celebrate that. Number two, be authentic, full hearts, be authentic within yourself and love people. And number three, you can't lose. And if you do those things, and you might say, well, there's, you know, it's almost like, Tim, it's remembering a golf swing. Keep your elbows straight. You got to do this. You got to remember this. No, I'm going to go back to Maxwell to put a bow on this as we land the plane. Is, you know, Maxwell is ADD like I am. And I had the privilege of meeting Dick Peterson, who was his first partner when he was a pastor in San Diego, California, way before he did anything. And he started this Enjoy ministry that he had, and it was the little tapes just to encourage pastors. And Dick pulled me aside and he said, you know, John reminds me a lot like you. And basically my job for John was basically just to keep him in the right direction because he's all over the place, right? So I love John Maxwell, and that kind of turned me on to him. But about 10 years ago, he came here to Atlanta and he said three words that changed everything for me. And how do you remember all this stuff? How do you do it every day? And John said it like this. He's like, tomorrow's gone. It's never coming back. I'm not promised tomorrow, but just for today.
Yeah.
Just for today. Listen, there's so many plates spinning in a dealership. There's so many things going on at my house on a personal level. There's so many things going on. There's a lot of plates spinning, but man, I can handle today. I've got it written. I don't have it here with me. I've got it in my car. I've got it multiple places that it just reminds me, man, I can crush today, man. I'm going to love authentic today. I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to love people. I'm going to review game film today, but man, just for today changes everything for me because it simplifies it. So, you know, a lot of car guys and gals are ADD like me. I'm in good company. You know, I'm in good company. So let's just water it all down. If you want to be a good anything, you want to be a good leader, you want to be a good daddy, you want to be a good husband, whatever, you want to be a good wife, whatever it is, significant other, you know, just for today, fill in the blank. This is a big one. Just for today, let me treat people as though they're more important than me. And that's a tough one. And if we get that right, everything else takes care of itself. Because at that point, that's when we start chasing significance. And when you do that on a daily basis, those days turn into weeks, those weeks turn into months, those months turn into years. And before you know it, you're approaching 5,000 dealerships and, you know, you're looking around, you're like, oh my gosh, but you know what? Pride doesn't set in. We never talk. You'll never hear I come out of our mouth. I tell Andy all the time, it's a we
and let's go serve and let's just see what else we can accomplish. So anyway, that's the best I got, brother. I mean, I just have to keep it. I'm just a country boy from Kentucky, PK's kid. Like you said, I got to keep it simple. And the best way I can keep it simple is somebody else's words that I've adopted just for today, because I can handle today.
Yeah. The people didn't know they were going to church today. They had no clue. They woke up. They were like, "This is a podcast on the way to work." They went to church. It was so cool. Oh man, that was so encouraging. You know, you said something there, and someone reached out to me the other day. I've only done what, I don't know, 10 podcasts at this point. If you listen, they're 8 or something like that. And someone reached out to me. They're like, "Man, I got invited on a podcast. What's a good podcast look like? Or podcast?" You know, how should I be like that? And I was like, with yourself. So be yourself. I love that piece. And I, you know, the chasing significance with people and with other humans around. And if we notice, we keep our eyes open, look, listen, and be willing to enter into people's lives, then they'll be willing to just jump on board. And
so, yeah.
And I'm pumped. I'm excited that you encouraged me, and I appreciate you just pouring out your heart today for me and for anyone that's willing to listen and just been encouraged to get to know you for sure.
All right, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it.
For sure. Tim, if you are listening, thank you so much for joining me today. I even said I'm so encouraged. I caught some things. I wrote them down. I've got mental notes of just things to remember, things to do daily. And I hope you do too. The reason for Contagious Podcast is because we believe that there's a leader inside everybody, and the capacity of that leader is determined by that leader's desire to grow. And so I hope that you are encouraged in this moment, whether you're just starting an automotive or you've grown to the quote top of the food chain, or you're not in automotive and you're going, is this the place that I want to be? We need you. We need your voice. We need more people having this conversation of what it looks like to lead well, to serve, guide, and lead employees. And then that translate into how we serve, guide, and lead our customers into doing business with us. And I believe that if it's that contagious conversation, if it's that type of innovation, that as an industry, the automotive industry is just fit to explode and become one of the best places to work and the best place to do business with. So if you caught anything today, do me a favor, like, comment, share, bring this to a friend, have a conversation with a friend, coworker, family member, anything like that. So where we can all be involved in this process. I can't wait to speak with you again. Join us on Clubhouse Thursdays to further this conversation. We want people to join this conversation, not just listen to it passively, but engage in it actively. This has been Contagious Podcast. Thanks and have a great day.